exactly who she is. Though there is an assortment of generals on the dais, each representing their wing, there's only one more highly decorated than Lilith Sorengale. And Melgrin, the commanding general of all Navarian forces, has his beady eyes on Tairn in open assessment. His focus flicks toward me and I suppress a shudder. There's nothing but cold calculation in those eyes. Mom rises as I approach the roll keeper at the base of the dais, who's recording bonded pairs before motioning the next rider forward to maintain secrecy of a dragon's full name. Professor Kaori jumps off the 6-foot platform to my left and stares open-mouthed at Tairn, his gaze sweeping over the massive black dragon, memorizing every single detail.
Is that really?
Commandant Pancheck starts, hovering at the edge of the dais with more than a dozen other uniformed high-ranking officers all gaping.
Don't say it, Mom hisses, her eyes on Tairn, not me. Not until she does.
Because only a rider and the roll keeper know a dragon's full name. And she's not certain I'm really his. That's exactly what she's implying. Like I'd be able to hijack Tairn. Anger simmers in my veins, overtaking the pain coursing through my body as I move forward in the line so there's only one other rider ahead of me. Mom forced me into the rider's quadrant. She didn't care if I lived or died as I crossed the parapet. The only thing she cares about now is how my flaws might mar her sterling reputation, or how my bonding might further her own agenda. And now she's staring at my dragon without even bothering to look down and see if I'm all right. Fuck her. It's everything I expected, and yet still so disappointing. The rider ahead finishes, moving out of the way, and the roll keeper looks up, glancing wide-eyed at Tairn before lowering her shocked gaze to mine and beckoning me forward.
Violet Sorengale, she says as she writes in the Book of Riders. Nice to see that you made it. She offers me a quick, shaky smile. For the record, please tell me the name of the dragon who chose you. I lift my chin. Tairnanach.
Pronunciation could use some work.
Tairn's voice rumbles through my head. Hey, at least I remembered. I think back in his general direction, wondering if he'll hear me across the field.
At least I didn't let you fall to your death.
He sounds utterly bored, but he definitely heard me. The woman grins, shaking her head as she writes down his name.
I can't believe he bonded. Violet, he's a legend. I open my mouth to agree.
And Darna Yoram, the sweet high voice of the golden fills my mind. Undarna, for short.
I feel the blood rush from my face, and the edges of my vision sway as I pivot on my good ankle, staring back across the field at where the golden dragon, Undarna, now stands between Tairn's front legs.
Excuse me?
Violet, are you all right?
The redhead asks, and everyone around me, above me, leans in.
Tell her, the golden insists.
Tairn, what am I supposed to?
I think at him.
Tell the roll keeper her name,
Tairn echoes.
Violet, the roll keeper repeats. Do you need a mender?
I turn back to the woman and clear my throat.
And Darna Yoram, I whisper.
Her eyes fly wide.
Both dragons? She squawks.
I nod. And all hell breaks loose.
Chapter 16.
A quote from Colonel Kaori's Field Guide to Dragonkind.
Though this officer considers himself to be an expert on all matters dragonkind, there is a great deal we don't know about the way dragons govern themselves. There is a clear hierarchy among the most powerful, and deference is paid to elders.
but I have not been able to discern how it is they make laws for themselves, or at what point a dragon decided to bond only one rider, rather than go for better odds with two.
Absolutely not! One general shouts loud enough that I can hear her all the way from the little medical station that's been set up at the end of the bleachers for riders. It's nothing but a row of a dozen tables and some flown-in supplies to tide us over until we can get to the healer quadrant. But at least the pain medication is taking effect.
Two dragons. I have two dragons.
The generals have been screaming at each other for the last half hour, long enough for a chill to settle in the night air and for an instructor I've never met to sew up both sides of my arm. Lucky for me, Tynan mostly sliced through muscle, but didn't sever it. Unlucky for me, Jack is getting his shoulder examined about a dozen feet away. He strutted over from the back of an orange scorpion tail to record his bond with the roll keeper, who'd kept doing her job regardless of the generals arguing on the dais behind her. Jack hasn't quit staring at Tarn across the field.
How is that? Professor Kaori asks quietly, tightening the straps around my splinted ankle.
There are about a million other questions in his slashing dark eyes, but he keeps them to himself.
Hurts like hell. The swelling made it nearly impossible to get my boot back on without loosening every single lace to its widest position.
But at least I don't have to crawl across the field like a girl from second wing who had broken her leg during dismount. She's seven tables back, crying softly as the rider field medics try to set her leg.
You'll be focused on strengthening your bonds and riding in the next couple of months, so as long as you don't have any trouble mounting or dismounting.
His head tilts as he ties off the straps of my splint,
which after what I saw, I don't think you will. This sprain should heal before your next round of challenges.
Two lines deepen between his brow.
Or I can call Nolan.
No, I shake my head. I'll heal.
If you're sure. He obviously isn't.
Every eye in this valley is on me and my dragon.
Dragons. I correct myself. I can't afford to appear weak.
He frowns, but nods. Do you know who made it out of my squad? I ask, fear knotting my throat. Please let Rhiannon be alive, and Trina and Riddick and Sawyer, all of them.
I haven't seen Trina or Tynan.
Professor Kaori answers slowly, like he's trying to soften a blow. It doesn't.
Tynan won't be coming, I whisper, guilt gnawing at my stomach.
That is not your kill to take credit for,
Tarn mentally growls.
I see, Professor Kaori murmurs.
What the hell do you mean you think it needs surgery?
Jack bellows from my left.
I mean, it looks like the weapon severed a couple of ligaments, but we'll have to get you to the healers to be sure.
The other instructor says, his voice infinitely patient as he secures Jack's sling. I look Jack straight in those evil eyes and smile. I'm done being scared of him. He ran back in that meadow. Rage mottles his cheeks in the mage light, and he swings his feet over the end of his table and charges toward me.
You!
I what? I slip off the end of my table and leave my hands loose by the sheaths at my thighs. Professor Kaori's eyebrows jump as he glances between us.
You?
He murmurs.
Me,
I answer, keeping my focus on Jack. But Professor Kaori moves between us, throwing his palm out at Jack.
I wouldn't get any closer to her.
Hiding behind our instructors now, Sorengail? Jack's uninjured fist curls.
I didn't hide out there, and I'm not hiding here, I raise my chin. I'm not the one who ran.
She doesn't need to hide behind me when she's bonded to the most powerful dragon of your year,
Professor Kaori warns Jack, whose eyes narrow on me.
Your orange is a good choice, Barlow.
Bide, right? He's had four other riders before you. Jack nods.
Professor Kaori looks back over his shoulder at the line of dragons. As aggressive as Bide might be, from the way Tarn's looking at you, he'll have no problem scorching your bones into the earth if you take another step toward his rider. Jack stares at me in disbelief.
You?
Me. The throbbing in my ankle is down to a manageable, dull ache, even standing on it. He shakes his head, and the look in his eyes transforms from shock to envy to fear as he pivots toward the professor.
I don't know what she told you about what happened out there.
Nothing, the instructor folds his arms across his chest.
Is there something I need to know?
Jack pales, going white as a sheet in the mage light as another injured first year hobbles over, blood streaming from his thigh and torso.
Everyone who needs to know already knows.
I lock eyes with Jack.
Guess we're done for the night,
Kaori says as a line of dragons flies in, only visible by their silhouettes in the darkness.
The senior riders are back. You two should return to your dragons.
Jack huffs and marches off across the field. I glance at the generals still gathered in heated discussion on the dais.
Professor Kaori, has anyone ever bonded two dragons?
If anyone knows, it's the professor of dragonkind.
He turns with me to face the arguing leadership.
You would be the first. Not sure why they're fighting about it, though. The decision won't be up to them.
It won't? Wind gusts as dozens of dragons land on the opposite side of the first years, rows of mage lights hanging between them.
Nothing about who dragons choose is up to humans,
Kaori assures me.
We only like to maintain the illusion that we're in control. Something tells me they've just been waiting for the others to make it back before they meet.
The leadership? My brow furrows. Kaori shakes his head.
The dragons.
The dragons are going to meet? Thank you for tending to my ankle. I'd better get back over there. I offer him a tentative smile and head across the dimly lit field to Tarn and Undarna, feeling the weight of every stare in the valley as I stop and stand between the two dragons.
You two are causing a ruckus, you know.
I look at Undarna, then glance up at Tarn before turning around to face the field like the other first years.
They're not going to let us do this.
Oh shit, what if they make me choose? My stomach plummets.
It's up to the Empyrean to decide,
Tarn says, but there's an edge of tension in his tone.
Don't leave the field. This might take a while.
What might? My question dies on my tongue as the biggest dragon I've ever seen, even larger than Tarn, stalks toward us from the opening to the valley. Each dragon it passes walks into the center of the field and follows after, gathering dozens as it walks.
Is that?
Coda,
Tarn answers. General Melgrin's dragon. I make out the patchy holes in his battle-scarred wings as he comes closer, his golden gaze focused on Tarn in a way that makes me nauseous. He growls, low in his throat, turning those sinister eyes on me. Tarn rumbles his own growl, stepping forward so I'm between his massive claws. There's zero doubt I'm the subject of both disgruntled snarls.
Yep, we're talking about you,
Undarna says as the line passes by, and she joins.
Stay close to the wing leader until we return,
Tarn orders. Surely he meant to say squad leader.
You heard what I said.
Or not. I glance around and spot Zayden standing across the field, his arms crossed and legs spread as he stares at Tarn. The riders are eerily silent as the dragons empty the meadow, taking flight in a steady stream near the end and landing halfway up the southernmost peak in a shadowy grouping I can barely define in the moonlight. The second the last of the dragons flies off, chaos erupts.
First years swarm the center of the field, where I happen to be standing, shouting in exuberance and searching for their friends. My eyes scan the crowd, hoping for some glimpse of... Rhee! I shout, spotting Rhiannon in the mob and limping her way. Violet! She crushes me into a hug, pulling away when I wince at the fresh pain in my arm. What happened? Tynan's sword. I barely get the answer out of my mouth before I'm snatched off my feet by Riddick, who spins me around, my feet flying out in front of me.
Look who rode in on the baddest motherfucker around!
Put her down, Rhiannon chides. She's bleeding!
Oh, shit. Sorry,
Riddick says, and my feet find the ground. It's fine. There's fresh blood on the bandage, but I don't think I've torn my stitches, and painkillers are awesome. Are you all right? Who did you guys bond? The Green Dagger Tail, Rhiannon grins. Fjerg. And it was just... easy, she sighs. I saw her and just knew.
Iotrum,
Riddick says with pride. Brown sword tail.
Sleeg!
Sawyer throws his arms around Rhiannon's and Riddick's shoulders. Red sword tail! We all cheer, and I'm swept into his hug next. Out of all of us, I'm happiest for him, for all he's had to endure to get here. Trina? I ask as he lets me go. One by one, they shake their heads, looking to the others for answers. An impossible heaviness settles in my heart, and I search for any other reason. I mean, there's a possibility she's just unbonded, right? Sawyer shakes his head, sorrow slackening his shoulders. I saw her fall from the back of an orange club tail. My heart sinks.
Tynan?
Riddick asks, his gaze jumping between us. Tarn killed him, I say softly. In his defense, Tynan had already run me through once, I gestured to the wound on my arm, and he was trying to... He tried what? I'm spun around by the shoulders and yanked against a chest. Dane. My arms wind around his back and hold fast as I breathe deeply. Damn it, Violet, just... Damn! He squeezes me tight, then pushes me to arm's length.
You're hurt.
I'm fine, I assure him. But that doesn't quell the worry in his eyes. I'm not sure anything ever will. But we're all that's left of our squad's first years. Dane's gaze rises to look at the others and he nods.
4 out of 9. That's,
his jaw ticks once,
to be expected. The dragons are currently holding a meeting of the Empyrean, their leadership. Stay here until they return,
he says to the others before looking down at me.
You come with me.
It's probably my mother beckoning me through him. Surely she'll want to see me with everything that's going on. I glance across the field, but it's not Mom I find watching me, but Zayden. His expression unreadable. When Dane takes my hand and tugs, I turn away from Zayden, following Dane to the opposite edge of the field, where we're hidden in shadow. Guess it's not about Mom.
What the actual fuck happened out there? Because I've got Calf telling me that not only did Tarn choose you, but so did the small one, Adarn.
His fingers lace with mine, panic swirling in his brown eyes.
And Darna,
I correct him, a smile playing on my lips at the thought of the small golden dragon.
They're going to make you choose.
His expression hardens, and the certainty there makes me recoil. I'm not choosing, I shake my head, disengaging our hands. No human has ever chosen, and I'm not about to be the first. And who the hell is Dane to tell me that?
You are.
He rips his hand over his hair and his composure slips.
You have to trust me. You do trust me, right?
Of course I do.
Then you have to choose Andarna.
He nods as if his decree equals a decision made.
The gold one is the safest choice of the two.
Why, because Tarn is... Tarn? Does Dane think I'm too weak for a dragon as strong as Tarn? My mouth opens, then shuts like a fish out of water as I search for any reply that isn't fuck off.
There's no way in hell I'm rejecting Tarn. But my heart won't let me reject Endarna either. Are they going to make me choose? I think in their direction. There's no response. And where I've felt an extension in my mind of who I am, stretching my mental boundaries since Tarn first spoke to me in that field, there's nothing now. I'm cut off. Don't panic. I'm not choosing, I repeat, softer this time. What if I can't have either of them? What if they've broken some sacred rule and now we'll all be punished? You are, and it has to be Endarna. He grips my shoulders and leans in, an edge of urgency in his tone. I know she's too small to bear a rider. That hasn't been tested, I say defensively, even though I know it's true. The physics just don't match up. And it doesn't matter. It will mean that you won't be able to ride with a wing. But they'll probably make you a permanent instructor here like Kaori. That's because his signet power makes him indispensable as a teacher, not because his dragon can't fly, I argue. And even he had the requisite 4 years with a combat wing before he was put behind a desk. Dane looks away, and I can almost see the gears in his mind turning as he calculates. What, my risk, my choice, my freedom? Even if you take Endarna into combat, there's only a chance you'll be killed. You take Tarn, and Zayden will get you killed. You think Melgrin is terrifying? I've been here for a year longer than you have, Vi. At least you know what you're getting when it comes to Melgrin. Zayden isn't only twice as ruthless, but he's dangerously unpredictable. I blink. Wait, what are you saying? They're a mated pair, Tarn and Sigale, the strongest bonded pair in centuries. My mind whirs. Mated pairs can't be separated for long, or their health diminishes, so they're always stationed together. Always, which means, oh gods. Just tell me how it happened. He must see me fumbling because his voice softens. So I do. I tell him about Jack and his band of murderous friends hunting Endarna. I tell him about falling and the field and Zayden watching. Zayden shockingly protecting me with his warning when Orin was at my back. He had the perfect opportunity to end me without it tipping his scales. And he chose to help. What the hell am I supposed to do with that? Zayden was there? Dane says quietly, but the gentleness leeches from his voice. Yes, I nod, but he left after Tarn showed up. Zayden was there when you defended Endarna, and then Tarn just showed up, he asked slowly. Yes, that's what I just said. Was the timeline confusing him? What are you getting at? Don't you see what happened? What Zayden's done? His grip tightens. Thank gods for dragonscale armor, or I might have bruises tomorrow. Please, do tell me what it is you think I've done. A shape emerges from the shadows, and my pulse quickens as Zayden steps into the moonlight, darkness falling off him like a discarded veil. Heat rushes through every vein, wakes every nerve ending. I hate the reaction of my body to the sight of him, but I can't deny it. His appeal is so fucking inconvenient. You manipulated threshing. Dane's hands drop from my shoulders, and he turns to face our wing leader, the set of his shoulders rigid as he puts himself between us. Oh, shit. That's a huge allegation to hurl. Dane, that's paranoid. I sidestep Dane's back. If Zayden was going to kill me, he wouldn't have waited this long to do it. He's had every possible opportunity, and yet I'm still standing here, bonded to his dragon's mate. Zayden's not going to kill me. The realization makes my chest tighten, makes me re-examine everything that happened in that field, makes my sense of gravity shift beneath my feet. Is that an official accusation? Zayden looks at Dane like a hindrance, an annoyance. Did you step in? Dane demands. Did I what?
Zayden arches a dark brow and levels a look on Dane that would make a lesser person wither. Did I see her outnumbered and already wounded? Did I think her bravery was as admirable as it was fucking reckless? He turns that stare on me, and I feel the impact all the way to my toes. And I would do it again, I raise my chin. Well the fuck aware, Zayden roars, losing his temper for the first time since I met him on parapet. I pull in a quick breath and Zayden does the same, as if he's just as shocked by his outburst as I am. Did I see her fight off three bigger cadets? His glare pivots to Dane. Because the answer to all of those is yes. But you're asking the wrong question, Atos. What you should be asking is if Sigail saw it too. Dane swallows and looks away, obviously rethinking his position. His mate told him, I whisper. Sigail called for Tairn. She's never been a fan of bullies, Zayden says to me. But don't mistake it as an act of kindness toward you. She's fond of the little dragon. Unfortunately, Tairn chose you all on his own. Fuck, Dane mutters. My thought exactly, Zayden shakes his head at Dane. Sorengale is the last person on the continent I'd ever want to be chained to me. I didn't do this. Ouch. It takes all the willpower in my body not to reach for my chest and make sure he didn't just rip my heart out from behind my ribs, which makes absolutely zero sense since I feel the same way about him. He's the son of the great betrayer. His father was directly responsible for Brennan's death. And even if I had, Zayden moves toward Dane, towering over him. Would you really level that accusation, knowing it would have been what saved the woman you call your best friend? My gaze flies to Dane, and a silent, damning moment passes. It's a simple question, and yet I find myself holding my breath for his answer. What do I really mean to him? There are rules. Dane tilts his chin to look Zayden in the eyes. And out of curiosity, would you have, let's say, bent those rules to save your precious little Violet in that field? His voice ices over as he studies Dane's expression with rapt fascination. Zayden had taken a step. Right before Tairn landed, he'd moved toward me. Dane's jaw flexes, and I see the war in his eyes. That's unfair to ask him. I move to Dane's side as the sound of whipping wings interrupts the night. The dragons are flying back. They've made their decision. I'm ordering you to answer, squad leader. Zayden doesn't even spare me a glance. Dane swallows, his eyes slamming shut. No, I wouldn't have. My heart hits the ground. I've always known deep down that Dane valued rule and order more than relationships, more than me. But to have it so cruelly displayed cuts deeper than Tynan's sword. Zayden scoffs. Dane immediately jerks his head toward mine. It would have killed me to watch something happen to you, Vi, but the rules, it's all right, I force out, touching his shoulder. But it isn't. The dragons are returning, Zayden says as the first of them lands on the illuminated field. Get back to formation, squad leader. Dane rips his gaze from mine and walks away, blending into the crowd of hurried riders and their dragons. Why would you do that to him? I hurl at Zayden, then shake my head. I don't care why. Forget it, I mutter, then march off, heading back toward the spot where Tairn told me to wait. Because you put too much faith in him, Zayden answers anyway, catching up to me without even lengthening his stride. And knowing who to trust is the only thing that will keep you alive. Keep us alive. Not only in the quadrant, but after graduation. There is no us, I say, dodging a rider as she races past. Dragons land left and right, the ground trembling with the force of the riot's movement. I've never seen so many dragons at flight in the same moment.
Oh, I think you'll find that's no longer the case,
Zayden murmurs next to me, gripping my elbow and yanking me out of the path of another rider, running from the other direction. Yesterday, he would have let me run headfirst into him. Hell, he might have even pushed me.
Tairn's bonds are so powerful, both to mate and rider, because he's so powerful. Losing his last rider nearly killed him, which in turn nearly killed Sigale.
Mated pairs' lives are interdependent, I know that. We move forward until we're dead center in the line of riders. If I wasn't so aggravated by Zayden's callous attitude toward Dane, I would take the time to admire just how spectacular it is to see hundreds of dragons land all around us. Or maybe I'd question how the man next to me manages to consume all the air in the massive field.
Each time a dragon chooses a rider, that bond is stronger than the last. Which means that if you die, Violence, it sets off a chain of events that potentially ends with me dying, too.
His expression is immovable marble, but the anger in his eyes leaves me breathless. It's pure rage.
So yeah, unfortunately for everyone involved, there's now an us if the Empyrean lets Tairn's choice stand.
Oh, gods. I'm tethered to Zayden Ryerson.
And now that Tairn is in play, that other cadets know he's willing to bond?
He sighs, annoyance rippling over his features, his strong jaw working as he looks away.
That's why Tairn told me to stay with you, I whisper, as the consequences of today's actions settle in my churning stomach. Because of the unbonded. There are at least 36 of them standing on the opposite side of the field, watching us with avarice in their eyes, including Orin Seifert.
The unbonded are going to try to kill you in hopes they'll get Tairn to bond them.
Zayden shakes his head at Garrick as he approaches, and the section leader glances between us, his mouth set in a firm line before retreating across the field.
Tairn is one of the strongest dragons on the continent, and the vast power he channels is about to be yours. The next few months, the unbonded will try to kill a newly paired rider while the bond is weak, while they still have a chance of that dragon changing its mind and picking them so they're not set back a full year. And for Tairn, they'll do just about anything.
He sighs again like it's his new full-time job.
There are 41 unbonded riders for which you are now target number one.
He holds up a single finger. And Tairn thinks you'll play bodyguard? I snort. Little does he know just how much you dislike me.
He knows exactly how much I value my own life, Zayden retorts, glancing down my body. You're freakishly calm for someone who just heard she's about to be hunted.
It's a typical Wednesday for me, I shrug, ignoring the way his gaze heats my skin. And honestly, being hunted by 41 people is a lot less intimidating than constantly watching dark corners for you. A breeze hits my back as Endarna lands behind me, followed by a gust of wind and shuddering ground when it's Tairn. Without another word, Zayden rips his gaze from mine and walks away, cutting a slightly diagonal path across the field to where Sigale overshadows the other wing leader's dragons.
Tell me it's going to be all right, I murmur toward Endarna and Tairn.
It is how it should be,
Tairn answers, his voice gruff and bored at the same time.
You didn't answer before.
Fine, it sounds a little accusatory.
Humans can't know what's said within the Empyrean, Endarna answers. It's a rule.
So every rider was blocked, not just me. The thought is oddly comforting. Also,
The whole Empyrean is a new term for me today. Kaori must be in heaven tonight with all the dragon politics coming to light. What did they decide? I glance at my mother, but she's looking everywhere but my direction. General Melgrin moves toward the front of the dais, his uniform dripping in medals. Dane's right in one way. The top general in our kingdom is terrifying. He's never had an issue using infantry for fodder, and his cruelty when it comes to overseeing the interrogation and execution of prisoners is well known, at least at my family's dining room table. His enormous nightmare of a dragon takes up the entire space beside the dais, and a hush falls over the crowd as Melgrin angles his hands in front of his face.
Coda has relayed that the dragons have spoken regarding the Sorengale girl.
Lesser magic allows his voice to magically amplify over the field for all to hear. Woman, I mentally correct him, my stomach nodding.
While tradition has shown us that there is one rider for every dragon, there has never been a case of two dragons selecting the same rider, and therefore there is no dragon law against it, he declares. While we riders may not feel as though this is equitable,
his tone implies that he's one of them.
Dragons make their own laws. Both Tern and...
He looks over his shoulder and his aide rushes forward to whisper in his ear.
And Darna have chosen Violet Sorengale, and so their choice stands.
The crowd murmurs, but my shoulders sag in acute relief. I don't have to make an impossible choice.
As it should be, Tern grumbles. Humans have no say in the laws of dragons.
Mom steps forward and makes the same gesture with her hands to project her voice, but I can't concentrate on what she's saying as she closes out the formal portion of the threshing ceremony, promising the unbonded riders another chance next year. If they don't manage to kill one of us while our bonds are weak in the next few months and try to bond our dragons themselves. I belong to Tern and Endarna. And in some really fucked up way, Zayden. My scalp prickles, and I glance across the field at him. As if sensing my gaze, he looks over and holds up a single finger. Target number one.
Welcome to a family that knows no boundaries, no limits, and no end, my mother finishes, and a cheer resounds around the field. Riders, step forward.
I look left and right in confusion, but so does every other rider.
5 steps or so, Tern says.
I take them.
Dragons, it is our honor as always, Mom calls out. Now, we celebrate!
Heat blasts my back, and I hiss in pain as riders on both sides of me cry out. My back feels like it's on fucking fire. And yet everyone across the field is cheering raucously, some of them racing our way. Other riders are caught up in embraces.
You'll like it, Tern promises. It's unique.
The pain fades to a dull ache, and I glance over my shoulder. There's a solid black something peeking out from the vest. I'll like what?
Violet, Dane reaches me, his smile wide as he cups my face. You kept both of them.
I guess I did. My lips curve. It's all surreal. All too much for one day.
Where's your... He lets go and circles me. Can I unlace this? Just the top?
He asks, tugging at the raised neck of the back of my vest. I nod. A few pushes and pulls later, the crisp October air nips at the base of my neck.
Holy shit, you have to see this. Tell the boy to move, Tern orders.
Tern says you should move. Dane steps out of the way. Suddenly, my vision isn't mine. I'm looking at my own back through Andarna's eyes. A back that has a glistening black relic of a dragon mid-flight, stretching from shoulder to shoulder and, in the center,
the silhouette of a shimmering golden one.
It's beautiful, I whisper. I'm marked by their magic as a rider now, as their rider.
We know,
Andarna answers. I blink and my vision is mine again, and Dane's hands lace up my corset quickly, then are on my face, tipping it up toward his.
You have to know that I would do anything to save you, Violet, to keep you safe, he blurts, panic in his eyes. What Ryerson said, he shakes his head.
I know, I say reassuringly, nodding even as something cracks in my heart. You always want me safe.
He'd do anything.
Except break the rules.
You have to know how I feel about you.
His thumb strokes over my cheek, his eyes searching for something. And then, his mouth is on mine. His lips are soft, but the kiss is firm. And delight races up my spine. After years, Dane is finally kissing me.
The thrill is gone in less than a heartbeat. There's no heat, no energy, no sharp slice of lust.
Disappointment sours the moment, but not for Dane. He's all smiles as he pulls away.
It was over in an instant. It was everything I've ever wanted, except.
Shit. I don't want it anymore.
Chapter 17. A quote from Major Ofendra's Guide to the Rider's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. It is therefore only natural that the more powerful the dragon, the more powerful the signet its rider manifests. One should beware of a strong rider who bonds a smaller dragon, but even warier of the unbonded cadet who will stop at nothing to seize a chance to bond. After sleeping in the crowded barracks for the last 2 months, it's weird and oddly decadent to have my own room. I'll never take the luxury of privacy for granted again. I close my door behind me as I limp into the hallway. Rhiannon's door, across the small hall from mine, opens, and I see Sawyer's tall, lean frame come out. He runs his fingers through his hair, and when he sees me, his eyebrows rise and he freezes, his cheeks almost as red as his freckles. Good morning, I grin. Violet. He forces an awkward smile and walks off, headed toward the main hallway of the first-year dormitory. A couple from Second Wing holds hands as they come out of the room next to Rhiannon's, and I offer them a smile as I lean back against my door and wait, testing my ankle by rolling it. It's sore, just like every time I sprain it, but the brace and my boot hold it in place well enough to keep my weight on it. If I were anywhere else, I would call for crutches, but that would just put another target on my back, and according to Zayden, I already have a big enough one as it is. Rhiannon walks out of her room and smiles as soon as she sees me. No more breakfast duty? I was told last night that all the less desirable duties were being handed off to the unbonded so our energy can be redirected for flight lessons, which means I'll have to find another way to weaken my opponents before challenges. Zayden's right. I can't always count on taking every enemy down with poison. But I'm not going to ignore the only advantage I have here, either. One more reason for the unbonded to hate us, Rhiannon mutters. So, Sawyer, huh, Ri? We start down our hallway, passing a few other rooms before meeting up with the main corridor that leads to the rotunda. I have to say, the first-year rooms aren't as spacious as the second year's, but at least we both got ones with windows. A grin curves her lips. I felt like celebrating. She darts a quick side eye at me. And why have I not heard of you celebrating? We melt into the crowd, moving toward the gathering hall. Haven't found anyone I want to celebrate with. Really? Because I heard that you and a certain squad leader had a moment last night. My gaze whips toward hers, and I nearly stumble over my feet. Come on, Vi, the entire quadrant was out there.
And you don't think someone saw you? She rolls her eyes. You're not going to get a lecture from me. Who gives a shit if it's frowned upon to be in a relationship with a superior officer? There's no regulation, and it's not like any of us is guaranteed to live through the day. Solid points, I admit. But it's... I shake my head, searching for the right words. It's not like that with us. I'd always hoped it would be, but when he kissed me, there was nothing there. Like, nothing. It's impossible to keep the disappointment out of my voice. Well, that's shitty to hear. She hooks her arm through mine. I'm sorry. Me too, I sigh. A door opens farther down the hall, and Liam Mari walks out with his arm wrapped around the waist of another first-year who bonded a brown club tail. Looks like everyone was celebrating last night except me.
Good morning, ladies.
Riddick forces his way through the crowd and slings an arm around each of our shoulders as we enter the rotunda. Or should I say, riders?
I like the sound of riders, Rhiannon replies, shooting a smile in his direction.
It has a certain ring to it, Riddick agrees.
It's definitely better than dead. Where is your relic? I ask Riddick as we pass through the columns of carved dragons and take the steps into commons.
Right here. His arm falls off my shoulder and he shoves the sleeve up his tunic to reveal the brown mark of a dragon silhouette on his upper arm. You?
Can't see it. It's on my back.
That will keep you safer if you're ever separated from that massive dragon of yours.
His eyes dance.
I swear, I thought I was going to shit myself when I saw him on the field. What about yours, Rhi?
Somewhere you'll never see, she responds.
You wound me.
He slaps his hand over his heart.
I highly doubt that, she retorts, but there's a smile on her face. We move through commons and into the gathering hall, then make our way through the line for breakfast. It's odd to be on this side of it, and I startle at the sight of the guy behind the counter.
It's Oren.
He glares at me with a hatred that trickles like ice down my spine. I skip his station, opting for fresh fruit that I know can't be tampered with, just in case he decides to take my approach to conflict and poison me.
Asshole, Riddick mutters behind me. I still can't believe they tried to kill you.
I can, I shrug, taking my chances with a mug of apple juice. I'm the weakest link, right? Unfortunately for me, that means people are bound to try and take me out for the good of the wing. We headed toward the fourth wing section and find a table with three extra seats.
Mind if we, Riddick starts.
Absolutely, it's yours. A couple of guys from tail section scurry off the bench.
Sorry, Sorengale,
the other says over his shoulder as they find another table, leaving this one empty.
What the hell? Well, that was really fucking weird.
Rhiannon rounds the other side of the table and I follow, putting our backs to the wall as we step over the bench and sit, setting our trays in front of us. I'm half tempted to give my underarms a whiff to see if I smell.
Even weirder,
Riddick remarks, gesturing across the hall toward first wing. Following his line of sight, my eyebrows lift. Jack Barlow is being squeezed out of his table. He's forced to stand as others take his seat.
What the hell is going on?
Rhiannon bites into a pear and chews. Jack moves to another table, whose occupants won't make room for him, and then finds a place two tables down.
How the mighty have fallen, Riddick notes, watching the same show I am,
but there's no satisfaction in watching Jack struggle. Feral dogs bite harder when they're cornered.
Hey, Sorengale,
the stocky girl from first wing I beat in my second challenge says with a tight smile as she walks past our table.
Hi,
I wave awkwardly as she walks away, then turn to whisper to Riddick and Rhiannon.
She hasn't spoken to me since I took one of her daggers in that challenge.
It's because you bonded Tarn.
Imogen blows her pink hair out of her face and throws her leg over the bench across from us to sit, pushing up the sleeves of her tunic and revealing her rebellion relic.
The morning after threshing is always a clusterfuck, power balance shifts, and you, little Sorengale, are now about to be the most powerful rider in the quadrant. Anyone with common sense is going to be scared of you.
I blink, my pulse elevating.
Is that what's going on?
I look around the hall and take note. Social groups have split up, and some of the cadets I would have considered threats are no longer sitting where they usually do.
Which is why you're now sitting with us? Rhiannon arches a brow at the second year. Because I can count on one hand the number of nice words you've said to any of us.
She holds up a fist with zero fingers raised. Quinn, the tall second year in our squad who hasn't bothered to so much as look our way since Parapet, takes a seat next to Imogen, and Sawyer arrives, sitting on Rhiannon's other side. Quinn tucks her blonde curls behind her ears and brushes her bangs out of her eyes, her round cheeks rising as she smiles at something Imogen says. Have to admit, the hooped piercings that line the shells of both her ears are pretty awesome. And among her half-dozen patches, it's the dark green one, the same color as her eyes, with two silhouettes that's most intriguing. I should have studied up on what all the patches mean, but according to what I've heard, they change every year. I'm personally a fan of the first ones we've been given. I had to sew the flame-shaped patch with the emblem for fourth wing and the centered reddish number two with great care, being sure to only stitch the fabric of my corseted armor, since it's not like any needle is going to penetrate the scales. My favorite patch, though, is the one beside the flame section one. We're the squad to have the most surviving members since Parapet. This year's Iron Squad.
You weren't interesting enough to sit with before, Imogen responds, then bites into a muffin.
I usually sit with my girlfriend in Claw's section. Besides, no use getting to know you when most of you die, Quinn adds, tucking her curls away again, just to have them spring forward. No offense.
None taken? I start on my apple.
I nearly spit it out when Heaton and Emery, the only third years in our squad, flank Imogen and Quinn on the bench across from us. The only people we're missing are Dane and Sienna, who are eating with leadership as usual.
I thought Seifert would bond, Heaton says to Emery across the table, as though we've caught them mid-discussion. The normally red flames in their hair are green today.
Other than losing to Sorengale, he nailed every challenge.
He tried to kill Endarna.
Shit, maybe I should have kept that to myself.
Every head at the table turns toward me. My guess would be that Taryn told the others.
I shrug. But Barlow bonded? Riddick questions. Though from what I've heard, his orange scorpion tail is on the smaller side.
She is, Quinn confirms, which is why he's struggling this morning. Don't worry, I'm sure he'll make up for his lack of social standing in other ways, Rhiannon mutters, her gaze narrowing on my tray. You have to have some protein, Vi. You can't just survive on fruit. It's the only food I can be sure isn't tampered with, especially with Oren behind the counter.
I busy myself with peeling an orange.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Imogen scrapes three pieces of sausage onto my plate. She's right. You're going to need all your strength to ride, especially with a dragon as big as Taryn. I stare at the sausage. Imogen hates me just as much as Oren does. Hell, she's the one who broke my arm and ripped out my shoulder on assessment day.
You can trust her,
Taryn says, and I startle, dropping the orange. She hates me.
Stop arguing with me and eat something.
There's zero room for debate in his tone. My gaze rises to meet Imogen's, and she tilts her head, staring back in challenge. I use my fork to cut the link, then pop it into my mouth and chew, focusing on the conversation at the table again. What's your signet? Rhiannon asks Emery. Air rushes down the table, rattling the glasses. Air manipulation. Got it.
That's epic. Riddick's eyes widen. How much air can you move?
None of your business. He barely spares him a glance. Sorengale, after class is out today, you're mine, Imogen says.
I swallow my current bite. I'm sorry? Her pale green eyes lock on mine. Meet me in the sparring gym.
I'm already working with her on sparring, Rhiannon starts.
Good. We can't afford her to lose any challenges, Imogen retorts.
But I'm gonna help you with weights. We need to strengthen the muscles around your joints before challenges resume. That's the only way you'll survive.
The hairs rise on the back of my neck.
And since when do you care about my survival?
This isn't a squad thing. It can't be, not when she didn't give a shit before.
Since now, she says, gripping her fork in her fist. But it's the lightning-fast glance toward the dais at the end of the hall that gives her away. Her concern isn't coming from the goodness of her heart. Something tells me it's an order.
Squads are about to be condensed at morning formation. We'll be down to 2 in every section, she continues. Atos kept the highest number of his first years alive, hence the patch, so he'll be allowed to retain his squad. But we'll probably gain a few when they strip the squads from those who weren't as successful. As discreetly as I can, I look to my right, past the other fourth wing tables, and to the dais where Zayden sits with his executive officer and the section leaders, including Garrick, whose shoulders look like they should take up at least 2 seats. It's Garrick who looks my way first, his forehead lining with,
what is that? Worry?
Then he looks away. The only reason he'd be remotely worried.
He knows. He knows my fate is tethered to Zayden's.
My gaze snaps to Zayden and my chest tightens.
So freaking beautiful.
Apparently, my body doesn't care that he's as dangerous as they come in the quadrant because heat rushes through my veins, flushing my skin. He's using a dagger to peel an apple, removing the rind in one long curl, and the blade continues its path as his eyes lift, locking with mine.
My whole head tingles.
Gods, is there any part of my body that doesn't physically react to the sight of him? He glances toward Imogen and back to me. And that's all it takes for me to know for certain. He's ordered her to help train me. Zayden Ryerson is now in the business of keeping his mortal enemy alive. A few hours later, after the squads are rearranged and the death roll is read, all the first-year riders and fourth wings stand in our newly issued flight leathers, waiting in front of our dragons on the flight field. The uniform is thicker than our usual one, with a full jacket I've buttoned over my dragon scale armor. And unlike our regular uniforms, whatever we choose them to be, flight leathers bear no insignia besides our rank at our shoulder and any leadership designation. No names, no patches, nothing that could give us away if we're separated from our dragons behind enemy lines. Just a lot of sheaths for weapons. I try not to think about possibly fighting in the war effort one day and focus on the organized chaos evolving on the flight field that morning. I can't miss the way the other cadets look at Tarn, or the wide berth the other dragons give him. Honestly, if I had those teeth bared at me, I'd back away too.
No, you wouldn't, because you didn't. You stayed and defended Andarna.
His voice fills my head, and I can tell from his tone there are places he'd rather be. Only because there was a lot going on at the moment, I respond. And Darna isn't coming this morning?
She has no need for flight lessons when she can't bear you.
Good point. Though it would have been nice to just see her. She's quieter in my head, too, not as meddlesome as Tarn.
I heard that. Now pay attention.
I roll my eyes but focus on what Kaori is saying from the center of the field. His hand is up, using common lesser magic to project his voice so we can all hear.
God help us when Riddick figures out how to do that.
I bite back a smile, knowing he'll find some way to annoy the shit out of every rider in the quadrant, not just his squad.
And at only 92 riders, you are our smallest class to date.
My shoulders dip. I thought 101 were willing to bond plus you.
Willing doesn't mean they found worthy riders,
Taryn answers. And yet two of you chose me? With 41 unbonded, that's quite the insult.
You're worthy. At least I think you are, but you apparently don't pay attention in class.
He chuffs and a warm puff of steam blasts the back of my neck.
There are 41 unbonded riders who would kill to be standing where you are,
Kaori continues.
And your dragons know that your bond is at its weakest point right now. So if you fall, if you fail, there's a good chance your dragon might let you if it thinks the unbonded will be a better choice.
Comforting, I mutter. Taryn makes a noise that reminds me of a scoff.
Now we're going to mount, then follow a series of specific maneuvers your dragons already know. Your orders are simple today. Stay in your seat.
Kaori finishes. Then he turns and breaks into a sprint, racing the dozen feet toward his dragon's foreleg and making the vertical climb to mount. Just like the last obstacle on the gauntlet. I swallow, wishing I hadn't eaten so much for breakfast, and turn to face Taryn. To my left and right, other riders are doing the same mounting maneuver. There's no way I can pull that off normally, let alone with my ankle still healing. Taryn dips his shoulder and makes his leg into a ramp for me. Defeat just about swallows me whole. I've bonded the biggest and certainly the grumpiest dragon in the quadrant, and yet he has to make accommodations for me.
They're accommodations for me. I've seen your memories. I'm not about to have you sticking daggers into my leg to climb up. Now let's go.
I snort, but make the ascent, shaking my head as I navigate his spikes to find the seat. My thighs ache from yesterday, and I wince as I get into position, gripping the pommel of scales. Kaori's dragon launches into the sky.
Hold tight.
I feel the same bands of energy clamp around my legs, and Taryn crouches a millisecond before he hurls us skyward. The wind tears at my eyes as my stomach falls away, and I risk holding on with one hand to lower my flight.